Man, that Chip Kelly would make a great head coach someday. Welcome to the Podcast Daily. That is Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. It's a Woody Wednesday, and we learned on Tuesday that Chip Kelly is happy to be an offensive coordinator and a position coach.
Stock up on Chip Kelly.
Are you changing the show?
Yeah. We're not doing stocks. No, we're not doing stocks. Sorry, that's a different week. That'll be 2 weeks from now. But you know how we always talk about like Ryan Day's first press conference, Jeff Hafley's press conference, like, oh, really impressive stuff. Those guys are going to be a head coach someday. Chip Kelly's already done all that. Yeah. And then he's bringing it to the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach role. And he's quoting John Lennon and Socrates in the same press conference. And it's, I think we're going to just see
a little Giants reference.
He sure did. Annexation of Puerto Rico. He's going to take a zip line between the press box and the field so that he can, you know, feel and see the game the way that he wants to. We're going to need like a lot more popcorn and a lot bigger notebooks when you have Ryan Day, Chip Kelly, and Jim Knowles all talking on the same day.
Yeah, I don't know what Chip Kelly was like as a head coach with the media. I didn't watch a lot of Chip Kelly press conferences, but that guy was like pretty loose, but also like very excited, I think, about the opportunity to not have to deal with a lot of the BS that comes with being a head coach in college football in 2024, which I think is going to work out really well for Ohio State. And as a media member, I am thankful that it seems like we're going to have a couple of coordinators in Chip and Jim Knowles who are kind of okay telling it like it is. So I think that'll be good for us. That'll be good for the Ohio State fans who get their information from us. But it was like interesting to see Chip kind of like shed himself of the head coach, veil, I guess, and kind of just like be kind of chill up there.
I didn't expect him to have baby pictures of Ryan Day on Tuesday, but he pulled him up and he's like, this was when Ryan was three and we were at Chuck E. Cheese. That was pretty cool.
It's Charles.
It felt...
Charles Edward Cheese.
I felt a little bit like we had a...
Colonized by his government.
It's like a Kevin Wilson redux in there today. On Tuesday. We're back. We're back, baby. We're making that day joke. I thought it was just like... I like to just listen to a guy who likes to talk about football.
For sure.
But you can also see why he's been a head coach and where he comes from, because he was extremely insightful, very, very well-spoken, and was able to deliver a message without sounding preachy, without being condescending to anybody. I mean, I didn't know that we were going to get into the deep philosophical part of his heart when I asked him, like, how did this happen? Why are you here? But I mean, that answer about him saying, I wanted to be happy, like, I was like, damn, touch me right there, Chip.
Well, you love to tug on the heartstrings.
I know, but I wasn't intending to. I thought
you just can't help it.
Yeah,
I mean, you really get people in tune with their feelings during the press conference.
That's what I'm aiming to do. But I was pleasantly surprised that he was immediately available in such a manner, because when you walk into that room coming from a place like UCLA and like there's 100 people in the team room today, like that can be a little overwhelming. But
who was an NFL head coach?
Meh. For the Eagles.
Do they even have media in Philly?
They even have Philly media.
They're much meaner than we are.
So, I mean, I just thought that it's an opportunity for a guy to sometimes like come in with a guard up, and he didn't at all. And I assume that's because he'd been prepped a little bit on, you know, hey, these people aren't savages.
This guy, they're all idiots.
They're going to like it if you'd like,
they're
gonna quote the Beatles.
They're like, simple.
They'll be eating out of your hand. Then they're going to walk outside and they're going to rave about the press conference
you
just had.
It was pretty good. You should be a head coach someday. That's a pretty good intro to a guy in a program like this. Yeah.
He told a story about preparing for UCLA's bowl game and that their quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator, was leaving. Where do you go? Washington or Oregon State. And then he said, what? Chip Kelly had to not just be the head coach, but the position coach, and that he hadn't got to, he said, coach ball only since 2008. And that he and his wife talked about how much he enjoyed that. And it's one thing to tell that story. And then I'm watching him on Tuesday morning, first practice at Ohio State. And there's a drill going on. He's chatting with Tim Walton. And he watched Quinshon Judkins go through a drill. And he walks up and had a huge smile on his face and tapped him up, gave him a hug. They were laughing and joking around. He did that later on with Caleb Downs, where he's basically like, hey, you need to be an offensive player. And that's one of the things that you shouldn't say to the Ohio State media that maybe he'll learn, because we're going to beat that into the ground.
He should at least be a punt returner.
which he didn't get to do on Tuesday during that practice, as we read into too much of that. But you could take that story, and there were also anecdotes just from four open viewing periods where you saw how much Chip Kelly was enjoying himself and being around these Ohio State players. And I don't know if that's what he was like at UCLA. I don't remember that being his reputation as a real cuddly teddy bear at Oregon. Philadelphia, probably not, Bill, but, you know, that's...
Philadelphia has a way of beating that out of you, though.
But, you know, this... You can understand why the opportunity was appealing to him outside of any of the other things about being a head coach or a rocky, you know, relationship with Martin Jarman at UCLA, any of the other things, because none of that stuff actually matters for Ohio State moving forward from February 2024 onward.
The one thing he wasn't asked was, like, do you want to be a head coach again someday? But I kind of got the impression that he doesn't. Or at least not in college. I don't think he'd ever get the opportunity.
That's like asking somebody if they're going to transfer before spring practice starts.
I know, but there is a part of this that, like, you want some longevity, right? Some stability. You don't want Ryan Day.
Especially for a guy who said, I'm going to coach and then I'm going
to
die.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want Ryan Day, like, every other year having to go out and find a new coordinator. That's part of what made Jim Knowles appealing, I think, in addition to being a good coordinator. And I kind of feel like Chip Kelly could have, like, similar staying power. I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive to the nature of the business, but I very much picked up on, like, he had, like, an epiphany during bowl practice, I guess, at UCLA, where it was like, maybe I'm not doing exactly the right thing. And it didn't come off as, like, college football's burning to the ground. I need to get away from this. I just, like, truly think he wanted to get back into coaching a little more, and it's hard to do anymore as a head coach in college football. But, like, he seemed, like, genuinely enthused by it, by coaching the quarterbacks, by getting able to sit in his room and draw up ball plays, by getting to just, like, talk about football and kind of do nothing else. Because there's not even, like, he doesn't have a lot on his plate recruiting-wise either. He's recruiting, what, three guys a cycle? So I think it's possible that all of that sort of, like, brings out the best of Chip Kelly. And I think we know what that looks like. It's pretty damn good. Like, the idea of that combined with Ohio State's talent is a little terrifying.
There is a part of me that thinks, like, you know, maybe he'd want to be a head coach again someday, but, like, what you're saying, maybe he just wanted to, I don't think he wanted to get out of college football. Obviously, he said, yeah, he's talked to people who have, you know, said, I'm right behind you. I'm going to do the same thing. But getting out of
the head, he should have named him.
Getting out of the head coaching situation at UCLA was obviously appealing. Mm-hmm. That said, I don't know that he's a guy that you look at and say, oh, you know, you're going to hire Chip Kelly in 3 years, because if he's here, and he's with Ryan Day, and, you know, he's not like a spring chicken. He's not a 45-year-old like Ryan Day is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously an opportunity for him to do whatever he wants from here, but what you got out of today for me was, like, watching, again, Tuesday, because this is the Wednesday morning podcast daily, not Snap Judgments, not any other show we do, was that I wonder how easy will it be for him to set himself into being just the quarterback's coach, like, on the field, because you saw him walking around,
yeah,
and going to the running backs and doing, like, I know he's also the offensive coordinator, but in a day like Tuesday, you're with five quarterbacks, four of them who've never taken, or three of them who've never taken a snap for Ohio State, and two others that have played very little football for Ohio State. Like, I would imagine that he would need to be pretty immersed in the quarterback room for these next 6 weeks, and less involved as the overarching offensive coordinator, because, you know, Ryan Day said it on Tuesday as well. Like, this is about individual growth these next 6 weeks, and then you worry about team stuff and the chemistry and game planning. So I want to see Chip, like, only with the quarterbacks over these next few weeks, and I wonder if that'll be a difficult adjustment for him to make.
Well, if he's calling the offense as a whole, and I think this plays part and parcel a little bit to what Ryan Day has talked about with understanding the pulse of the entire team. Like, Ryan Day needed to be around the defense and the special teams more to get an understanding of the personnel and the culture. And if Chip Kelly is the head coach of the offense now, in addition to being the quarterback's coach, he is going to need to be spending part of spring ball where Ohio State is not treating this as full installation, full scheme. He needs to be around the running backs and talking to Quinshon Judkins and doing some of those other things. I think I can kind of understand that. I certainly see your point as well.
I'll do
it.
If they need a quarterback assistant, I'll do it.
Well,
because I wonder who's going
to
be.
They do need one.
It does go back to that question, because, like, how is that structure going to work? I thought maybe without Todd Fitch, that would force Ryan Day back into the role. And all three of the quarterbacks who talked on Monday, and then Chip Kelly and Ryan Day on Tuesday, are like, well, you're going to take a step back from that. Somebody is going to have to do it. Yeah. That part is correct. I don't know how that's best going to work, what they're going to have to do, why they're, you know, why it's into March that they are faced with this situation, but it is something to monitor, but probably not like for week one, early part of camp. Like it doesn't have to be a major priority.
I'm a big picture type of guy.
I know you
like to see the future.
Yeah, BPB. What's that?
Are you tap dancing?
I'm just looking at the big picture. You see it out there?
But why are your feet kicking out?
I don't know, boys. The way it works.
Here's the another idea that I had when you were talking about, you guys have both mentioned like Kevin Wilson or being a head coach again down the road. Like, it's not always that easy to just snap your fingers and get a job. And I think we had conversations with Kevin Wilson about that. It's like an athletic director has to want to hire you. There may be people that look at Chip Kelly's end of his tenure there with UCLA and like, they don't want, even want to walk down that road, or they're worried about his age. Like the perfect fit to even take him away from Ohio State may not exist for a while or ever. I mean,
University of New Hampshire.
Yeah, it could, that could be the spot. I don't know, but I don't think that has to be a real primary concern for Ohio State, at least not now, certainly not for 2024. But
no,
it took a half dozen years before Kevin Wilson like found an opportunity that he thought was worth his time to go pursue. So can
I, how's that going for him?
I think he enjoyed last year without them having a ton of success, but I don't know, maybe he didn't.
I think he just likes having longer press conferences.
Yeah, I like to win.
So, well, I understand that part, but you wanted a fresh challenge. You got one. Is that going to be the same case for Chip Kelly? Like, I don't think he's going to, I don't think he took this job thinking 1 year was going to propel him back to somewhere else. And I don't even know that that would be a realistic outcome for him.
No. Yeah. I don't know what it would be. Then again, like we thought the same thing about Jim Knowles and he like interviewed for two jobs.
Sure. Sure.
So like that stuff happens. Like we're not trying to say it's not going to happen, but I'm not worried about that. Like at this particular juncture, I think even if whatever you get 1 year with Chip Kelly, like, I think it's going to be pretty special to see that offensive line get to work with the pieces we saw out on the field on the practice, first practice on Tuesday.
We were at Roosters, and it's almost been like 4 months now since I said, you know who Ryan Day needs in this building is Chip Kelly. And I thought Chip Kelly was going to be fired at that point, and that didn't happen. And then because UCLA didn't want to spend the money, and now he's here. And I go back to the initial hiring of Bill O'Brien, and I thought to myself, Bill O'Brien is like the perfect fit for this situation. Do you think that Chip Kelly is a better fit than Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
And because, I mean, I thought he was the right guy, obviously, 4 months ago for this. So I think he is the better fit. But I'm just – it feels like one of those moments where Ohio State may have, like, backed into something really great.
I thought – let's presume that Chip Kelly was going through bowl practice and, like, already telling Ryan Day that he would be interested in doing that and was ready to make that move. And so Ryan Day could have hypothetically hired either one, Bill O'Brien or Chip Kelly, at that time. I think the decision to go outside of his circle of trust to bring in a fresh perspective in Bill O'Brien was probably well-intentioned and justified and arguably correct. And then he got a better outcome, which was like 3 weeks of Bill O'Brien bringing a fresh perspective, and then the coach who's probably better suited for college offensive coordinator, innovation, versatility, flexibility, cutting edge, however you want to describe him. Like, trying to avoid being knocked for his familiarity and having his mentor come in and like hearing an echo chamber, like that was probably an irrational fear because Chip Kelly does feel now like a no-brainer.
Well, because it's all the things you said about Chip are true, but it's still like integrated within a system that is familiar to Ryan Day and to these players, more importantly. Like Bill O'Brien, I think, would have had to adjust some trying to figure out how his ideas might fit into the pre-existing Ohio State offense. And Chip Kelly might have to do that some, but I don't think he'll have to do it nearly as much as Bill O'Brien would have had to do it. And I've said this before, like I think Chip is an expert in a lot of things. I thought it was funny. Like Chip kind of like summed up the beauty, I think, of Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
When he said, like, some people think I'm an air raid guy, some people think I'm a wing T guy, some people think I want to run the ball all the time. It's like, yeah, that's what makes you good at what you do. But I do think he is, or has been, like one of like the foremost run game designers in college football for like the last decade. And like Ohio State needs that. I think they're a little bit stale running the football. And like last year was the worst year they've had running the ball in like 20 years. And like they have to be better. And I think at this particular time, Chip Kelly is exactly what they need. It's not to say like you bring in Quinshon Judkins, you're probably going to run the ball better anyway. But in terms of like design, scheme, mentality, like I don't think Bill O'Brien would have gotten out of this offense what I think Chip Kelly will when it comes to running the football. Yeah. And I think that's what takes this offense to the next level.
And I think, you know, with Bill O'Brien, the thing you had to present kids was like, quarterback's coach, right?
Yeah,
he coached
Tom Brady.
The top. But I've been trying to find the angle of what Ryan Day would say in this situation, and he said it today. Like, where do you think I learned all this stuff from? And so, like, then it's like, oh, that actually makes some sense because Chip Kelly has coached quarterbacks, and he actually coached Ryan Day, who's the quarterback whisperer, you know, whatever you want to call him. And so, like, it does make that transition a lot easier. Ryan Day, what else did he say on Tuesday's press conference that you guys were like, oh, that's weird, or oh, that's interesting? Did mention some guys that are going to be out for the spring. But even on Tuesday, like some of those guys were practicing, but they're not going to be full go
because he didn't have pads on yet.
So Malik Hartford, Bryce West will not participate full contact, but they were out here in.
He said some guys could be back. He said by preseason. I don't. Maybe some by the end of the spring.
The list that we got, those guys are going to be out for the duration of spring, is my understanding. That also includes Miles Walker.
He's got a big old sling on his arm.
Yeah, we saw him injured. Court Williams was out, you know, walking around with the linebackers, but not fully participating. Frank I think Malik Hartford is probably the most notable of that group.
And unfortunate, considering this is a pretty important spring for him.
Yeah, right. Whatever's up with him, though, like, to your point, he can run because he was out here running around on Tuesday.
I think that was a shoulder for Malik Hartford as well that had to be worked on. But
based off the brace he wore last year.
Based on the way he tackles people, I'm not surprised.
I'm pretty sure that's what was going on there. But I think that's the entirety of that list.
Yeah, Peyton Pierce, who had a foot injury that he suffered in December, he's been on the cart, the wheelie cart, the scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Walker, as you said, had the big shoulder brace. I think he had an arm surgery. Bryce West, I'm not sure. I mean, again, he was out there with them, but it's unfortunate. But again, depth at corner is so good. It's not like you were counting on him to do a lot this spring anyhow.
Yeah, this starting spring, I think Ohio State is in a much better spot than they normally are. We walk out for the first day on a Tuesday, and it's like there's 20 guys that are out, and they're not going to participate in spring. That was the case last year. Travion is trying to, but he's not going to be allowed. And Emeka's over here and doing this and that. Like, that's not the case for this team. Like, the starting lineup is intact, and that means that the difficulty becomes how much do you want to work them? Difficulty is probably not the right word for that. The challenge, the opportunity, whatever. How much do you want to develop the depth, and how much are you trying to install a new offense, which it doesn't seem like Ohio State is intent on, because Ryan Day's new mantra, I don't believe I've ever heard from him, is working out no talent issues.
Yeah, that was a new one. That seems like it's going to be the buzzword this spring. I'm sure we'll hear the players echo that too. That's just like, that's technique stuff, right? That's the betterment of the individual player, which is, as Berm said, is like kind of the focus this spring. Like, at least like for the players, right? I think that the coaching staff is like, they're in there talking about scheme and all that stuff and figuring out what might work best for them. But which I guess is a good reminder, especially for someone like me, who gets very excited about scheme stuff in the spring, and then like you watch a spring game, like, this all looks the same. What's up with that? It's because like that stuff happens in the summer and August and leading into the season. So I'm not necessarily looking forward to.
Are you just thinking about all your Slot Marv stories from last spring?
And, I mean, I'm going to talk about their evolving run game probably every time we step in front of a camera, but then we'll watch them run stretch 45 times in the spring game.
Yeah, so those no talent issues are discipline.
Focus.
Personal preparation, that sort of stuff. So, that seems important. What I would have liked to have gotten some clarification on from Ryan Day on Tuesday was he mentioned that they got close to 150 reps on Tuesday's first practice. Yep. Like, what's normal? You know, I would like to know that because it doesn't mean much to me if I, you know, I know that seems like a lot.
And he also said it'll be fewer when they get pads on too.
It did seem interesting that he at least intimated that the first three quarterbacks were getting the equal amount of reps on Tuesday. But every conversation always lends toward Devin Brown and Will Howard at the top of it, and then Lincoln Kienholz in the soft, gooey middle, and then Aaron Olin and Julian Sayin on the crust, right? So what do you do here with Devin Brown? The way that Ryan Day talked about Devin Brown on Tuesday was pretty glowing. said he seemed to carry over the December practice vibe that he had. And we saw that on Tuesday as well, I think, when we were out there for those 20 minutes. So I think we're going to have a real battle.
Then Chip Kelly balanced it out by going like over the top with his praise and how much he loved transfers and how their work ethic, and that, you know, Will Howard was their gold representative in the weight room.
You didn't get to ask, like, what is this quarterback battle? But I think it is a quarterback battle.
No, I think it is, too. And to be fair, Ryan Day was asked specifically about Devin Brown, and Chip Kelly was asked specifically about Will Howard when they gave those respective answers. But no, I mean, yeah, it definitely feels like it. And Ryan Day said middle of spring practice, they'll start to, I think, be a little more detailed in those reps. He kind of made it just sound like, go out there and play quarterback. We don't really care who you're out there with. And I kind of like for everybody in the room. But I assume by the middle of spring, and when we're out here watching a full practice later on in spring, like it'll be Will and Devin, I'm assuming, getting all of the one reps and maybe some two reps, and then the other guys kind of splitting what's left.
And Austin, you asked him specifically, like, is there a different timeline in your mind this time around?
Because I know that it's pointless to ask after one practice, or really to ask Ryan Day anytime, having covered him now for, you know, half dozen years and going through quarterback battles. Like, he doesn't want. Last year was the closest he ever went. And he was like, if we can do it by the spring game, I will. And that did not happen. It wasn't for lack of effort. It was because of those two guys, Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, were both close. That could certainly be the case again for Devin Brown and Will Howard by April 13th. We'll see if that transpires. But, you know, it wasn't to get him to say, trick him into a quote where it's like, I'm definitely wanting to do this by April 13, or I have to because the transfer portal opens 2 days later. I just felt like, I wondered if he felt more urgency to do it in fairness to those guys, something that we've talked about on several shows over the last 2 weeks. And he's like, yeah, I think there probably needs to be some delineation, or that he would like to have some. Will he get that? I don't know. He doesn't control that part.
I think he gave away he has a couple tells, you know, when he does the face, he's like, in those moments, he's like, you're right. I have to attack this question. And I think that he gave that face, you know, that like, well,
you made the point, but I don't want to say that out loud.
It's like acknowledging that your point was correct and then realizing he can't
actually
answer it.
Yeah.
But it's which, like, again, it's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. But, it wasn't designed to trick him. I wonder what that's like for him to manage, for Chip Kelly to manage, because this is flatly different than at any other point. These guys don't have to sit out if they wanted. And I'm not even trying to go out and say one's definitely going to leave. And like, they all talked about it on Monday, how much they want to compete and being invested at Ohio State. And I will take them at their word for that. I'm not suggesting anything otherwise, but being in the room, playing that position, being the head coach, you have to think that there may need to be a plan B, or that you need to establish a pecking order and a depth chart for how you want to prepare for the fall in advance, because the players could be the ones that change that for you. So
that's
the part that, like, and I can also understand that he's put in a position where he doesn't want to talk about the transfer portal or those outcomes. But, you know, I get it.
I might have said this last year as well. Like, last year's dynamic was not quite the same as this, but I think the biggest thing is, like, you can't let all of that, which is very real, force you into bad process. Like, you still, if you don't know by the end of the spring who the starting quarterback is, then you don't know. Like, it's kind of the world you have to live with, I guess. You can't, like, force yourself to pick one because of all the extracurriculars that are involved in quarterback recruiting nowadays. Like, it's the unfortunate nature of the position that power brokers in college football have created, but you can't let it be to your detriment. And, like, last year, I don't know, I thought they handled it actually pretty well. Like, it wasn't clear who the starter was going to be, so they didn't announce one. Like, you can be honest with guys and let the chips fall where they may, I suppose. But I just hope that by the end of this spring that Ryan Day, Chip Kelly, whatever, don't force themselves into, like, doing something that they're not ready to do because they're worried about someone transferring or worried about the message that might send to someone. I think you can't live in that world. As much pressure as there is to do it, I don't think you can.
Once you start living in that world, you will always live stuck in that world. If a guy decides to leave with an answer not known, then c'est la vie. Like, that's the way it goes, and then you have an answer. Right. But, you know, last year you had two guys that had never really started anywhere, and then you Devin breaks his, you know, fingers going into the spring game, so you lose a pretty important evaluation period for him. The hope, I imagine, this spring is that you have all of these opportunities to evaluate. Hope nobody breaks a finger on a helmet, and then you let it ride and spring game Saturday. Figure out a way to set that up to give those guys the best opportunity to go out there and show you in front of what I imagine will be 60 or 70 or 80,000 people a real show and say, these are our guys. And then Sunday morning, you call them into the office and you wish them well.
Can I drop some news on you guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get out we're talking quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
Tulsa, Kevin Wilson.
Yeah.
Has hired a new quarterbacks coach and passing game coordinator.
Corey Dennis.
His third job in a month.
Hey, huh? good for, I mean.
Congratulations to Corey Dennis.
Up the ladder.
I hope he
didn't buy property.
He's become a hot commodity. I hope he isn't flipping real estate in Salt Lake and
Mississippi.
I hope he is. If you have the scratch to do it, buy the properties, get rid of them.
Flip them.
Flip them.
Sell them to the next guy who's replacing you. Anyway. So, that spring game, it's 14 practices away. Ohio State had the first one on Tuesday. We had plenty of coverage of that on the podcast with some snap judgments and Ryan Day's press conference. If you missed that, go back and watch it. We'll be back in to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for some open viewing periods on Thursday, and we'll also have a podcast daily to get set for it. For Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham, I'm Austin Ward. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you.